Tonight we're going to proceed on as we've been doing the last 54 weeks. Now that's really getting in a rut, you know. We're going to the 55th book in the Bible. If you know what that book is, turn there with me. If you don't, I'll give you a hint. It follows 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. This is one of Paul's last letters written from prison. He'd been there now about 10 years. Can you picture that? Probably, in my estimation, the greatest man of Christ, the man who had the greatest influence in establishing Gentile Christian churches, the man who turned the world upside down, the man who gave us most of the New Testament, has been in prison for 10 years. You know, Joseph was put in prison, but he wasn't there 10 years. Paul never complained about being there. That's a noble accomplishment, never complained. I know he wanted to get out. He longed to get out. He prayed to get out. He had the churches pray that he get out, but he stayed there. There are a lot of things I believe Paul would have to say, I don't know. I don't know why I've been here so long. I didn't do anything to be placed here. If I'd have paid a bribery charge, I could have been set free long ago. I never have wronged the Roman Empire, but here I am, and my case has not yet come up to be tried. And the years rock on. And you know, they didn't have very good prisons in the Roman Empire. When you were thrown there, that was the end of everything. They were damp, they were dark, they were cold, they weren't, you know, wired up for TVs and a bed for every prisoner. And, you know, they didn't have air conditioning and heating, and they didn't have civil rights there. And so it was a very hard place to be. Not only that, but how would you like to be chained to somebody for 10 years? I had a Roman soldier there, and they would chain Paul's wrist to the wrist of the Roman soldier. I guess he got a lot of old soldiers say that way, though. Every time they changed one, here was somebody to preach to, you know. It was a captive audience, and what could the guy do? He couldn't kill him because Paul was a Roman citizen. That would get the old guard killed. So probably Paul used that as a great chance to witness to a lot of Roman soldiers. Maybe a lot of them got saved that never would have gotten saved. They never would have gone to hear old Paul preach. But I imagine Paul could again say, I don't know why I have to be chained here night and day to prisoners, to the guards. Why I have to stay in this prison. I believe in a miracle God. I believe in prayer. Paul was old now. This is not what you expect the Lord to let happen to an old person that served him so well. Paul seemingly never asked why. But I think he could say, I don't know. I don't understand a lot of things. But then, Paul could say, there are some things I do know. And let me tell you about them. One of the secrets, I believe, of Paul's happiness, is one that I have not yet learned to accomplish, is that Paul concentrated on the things he did know and not on the things he did not know. He focused his attention on the things that brought him joy and not on the things that brought him questions and doubt. What did Paul know? Well, some scriptures that relate is Romans 7:18. Paul tells us something he does know. Romans 7:18, well, he wasn't in prison now when he wrote this, but anyway, he said, this is something I know. He says, I know that in me dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. We're not going to go into that tonight, but Paul just simply said, I know that there is something within me, a force within me that fights me being God's man, that fights being holy, fights serving God, that fights doing the things that God says ought to do, and twists my arm and almost forces me into captivity to do things that I really don't want to do as God's man. I know that there is a warfare taking place inside of me. I think all of us who are Christians know this. There's no doubt in your mind that there is a struggle that takes place almost daily in our lives between that part of us that says, I vote for God, and the part of us on the other side that says, I vote for sin. And there is a battle here as to who is going to win out over our will and our allegiance and our loyalty. We all realize this warfare takes place. It doesn't take place in a lost man. He could care less. He just does what he wants to do. He never asks the question, well, what does God want me to do? We know what sin wants us to do. We know what the world wants us to do. And so there is a battle, Paul says, and I know this battle rages in my life. And I identify with Paul. I know this too. But then he goes on and talks about, I know also there is victory in Christ. I know that I can overcome sin. I know I can overcome temptation. I know that the Christian can be delivered. Now he goes on to say that. So that's something he does know. And that's a fantastic knowledge to know. Then there's Romans 8:28, one which many of you have memorized, although it's we, I'm going to put in there I. I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Paul could say, I don't know why I'm still in prison, but I know all things work together for good. If I'm in the will of God, I want to serve the Lord, then I know my prison stay is for good. And someday I may understand it, but in the meantime, I know it's working for good. That's a statement of faith, but Paul says, I know. I just know it's true. How do you know, Paul? I don't know how to tell you I know. I just know. You know, there's some things we know we can't explain to people. Then there's 2 Timothy 1:12, the one I want to talk about tonight. 2 Timothy 1:12. This is not all the things that Paul said he knew, but I'm just giving you a few of them. 2 Timothy 1:12 is another one. Paul says, I suffer. Well, verse 11 says, God has appointed me to be a preacher. He has appointed me to be an apostle. He's appointed me to be a teacher of the Gentiles. And because I am an apostle and I am a preacher and I am a teacher, I suffer many things. He was beaten, he was stoned, and now he was imprisoned. Why? Because he preached, he was an apostle, and he taught. And so he said, I suffer many things. I don't know why I have to suffer because I teach and preach and I'm an apostle. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not sorry. I'm a preacher and a teacher and an apostle. I wouldn't change my position. I wouldn't change the calling if I had the right. I'm not ashamed of the things that I have said when I have preached in my sermons. I'm not ashamed. I'm not even embarrassed to be in prison. Nevertheless, I do know this. I don't know God's purpose for me being here, but I do know this. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Great text. There are a number of great texts in this book of 2 Timothy. In my Bible, there is a cross reference beside verse 12 to the book of 1 Peter 4:19. Sometimes I will look these up, for every Bible has different cross references. That's whatever the editor of the Bible puts in there. But I had a cross reference to 1 Peter 4:19. I turned there, and this is what my Bible says. Peter says this now, wherefore let them that suffer, I would say Paul was suffering, according to the will of God. And I would have to say that Paul's being in prison was the will of God, the permissive will of God. God was using it for a purpose, and there was suffering involved in it. He goes on and says, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Christ in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I believe that's what Paul is saying back over here in 2 Timothy 1:2. When Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy, I believe he was feeling the strains of those 10 years in prison. He really felt that his life was about end. He did not say, I know I will get out of prison before I die. He did not say, I know that I will be given a just and fair trial by the Roman emperor. For at that time it was Nero, and Brother Nero had no time for Christians. He blamed all the problems of the Roman Empire on Christians. So you wouldn't expect to get a real good deal from Nero, the man who sent out orders to persecute and feed the Christians to the lions. And so we don't see anywhere where Paul said, I know I'll be released from prison. And so as Peter said, Paul just sort of said, I have committed my soul to the Lord, and I know that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Now this is thinking of some people in that time, and this is thinking of some people even today, that a person that's having difficulty, that's having things go wrong for them, that's under trials and hardships, those that can't seem to pull off the miracles, those that can't seem to find a release, It's all because God's upset with them. They've done something wrong and the Lord is getting even with them. Or that God has put them on the shelf and He's through with them. Or God is no longer going to bless them. Or God no longer considers them a worthwhile asset to Him. If the trouble is prolonged, the theory goes, maybe it's even possible you weren't saved to begin with. For surely God would come to the rescue if you truly were one of His. And if things keep going downhill for you, it just may be you're not saved at all. I think that's bad, bad theology. It's not biblically sound at all. If you're going to use that philosophy, you'd have to even cancel out Jesus because things just kept getting worse and worse and worse down to the cross. But maybe it was this kind of logic that made Paul make this comment. I know, though things don't look like God's blessing me, though things really look black all around me, though it doesn't look like I'm ever going to get out of this place, though it looks like there's no hope at all for me anymore, I know. Maybe you don't know, and maybe you don't believe, but I know. And I believe, and I'm persuaded, that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until the day of judgment. Don't let the things that you see fool you. I and the Lord are still real close. I know that, even if maybe you think you don't. Paul never considered himself out of touch with God's blessings while he was in prison. Not out of God's favor, not out of God's will, while he was there locked up and chained up with Roman guards. If there's ever a place that you might doubt your relationship to God, I think it would be in a Roman prison. You know, that would really be a test of a man's belief that he is a loved child of the Father. Surely Satan would whisper to a person like that, "Why, you're God's child. You won't stay here. If you're God's child, there's got to be an angel come down and release you and open prison doors," as it did for Peter one time. Surely if you're God's child, somehow God will give you a quick release. Surely if you're God's child, you will have the same treatment that those that believe like you get. And many like you, and believe like you, and teach like you, and preach like you, they're outside jail and they're running free. And they're having all kinds of blessings and success. And Satan would probably say, "You know, Paul, your problem is you're not saved. You're not God's child. You're just kidding yourself. This is no place for a child of God. You haven't done anything wrong. All you've done was serve your father. But you see, you're not a child of God. That's what you're doing here." And I believe in one sense, maybe Paul was saying this to Satan. "Satan, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him." It's a good answer to give to Satan when he talks to you like that, trying to make you doubt your salvation because of the circumstances in which you find yourself. To make matters even worse for Paul, it seemed as though God's people had even forgotten. Look, if you will, at 2 Timothy 1st chapter verse 15. He says, "Timothy, you know this to be true. All those that are in Asia," that's the area around Ephesus, "all the Christian churches." Now mind you, these are churches that Paul started for the most part. These are people that Paul, many of them, had won to the Lord. He was their spiritual father. And so he says, "Timothy, you know for a fact that all those Christians which are in Asia have turned away from me." I mean, they've forgotten me. They haven't seen me for 10 years. They just forgot all about me. They don't even know I exist anymore. And then he mentions two in particular who must have been at one time fairly close friends of his, Phygellus and Hermogenes. But then he goes on and mentions verse 16, "But the Lord gave me some relief. He gave me some mercy." I want to say this just in passing. Paul had the fellowship and company of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But he said, I'm lonely. I believe Jesus fills a real void in our spirit. But it takes people to fill a void in our life too. I believe that's what was meant when Adam said, "Of Our God said of Adam, it is not good that you be alone. And he made an Eve for him. Paul was just saying, I'm lonely. I don't have anybody to come talk to me. So some of the Roman guards must not have been too good a company. And so he said, the Lord saw mercy, or had mercy, and he sent unto me Onesiphorus. That's the best I can do, or Onesiphorus. Anyway, I put Mr. O. Okay? For he has come and often refreshed me. I started to preach on that, how to refresh somebody. You know, a lot of times we can go see somebody, but we don't refresh them. Paul had a lot of problems, and I don't believe O came in and dumped some more problems of his on him. I believe O knew how to refresh Paul. He said, he was not ashamed of my chains. What he meant was he wasn't afraid to come up and seek out my company, afraid that he'd be thrown in prison as one of those Christians who was a friend of that Christian Paul. It was a dangerous thing to go see Paul because you'd be labeled a Christian. But he said, Mr. O came and refreshed me many times. You know, it's sad to think that only one person would go see him. Isn't that something? It's bad enough to be in prison, but then nobody comes in. Maybe when Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me, maybe that's what he's talking about. Not just regular old wicked prisoners, but maybe he's talking about his own. I was in prison. In my people, in my Paul's, I was in prison because of persecution. And you came and saw your brother. You saw me in prison. Now, later on, look if you will, in 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 13. He says to Timothy, Timothy, come see me. Come see me. Come visit me. Do it quickly. He says, Demas, well, he's walked out on me. He decided the world was a lot better than I was. Not much going on in the prison cell, so Demas left me. Then he said also, Crescens left me, but he has gone, I guess, to do something for me. Then he says, verse 11, only Luke. That's not saying Luke was not worthy or not helpful, not refreshing, but only Luke is with me. You know who Luke was? Luke was a physician. The physician. I wonder why he was there. Now, I'm not saying he was there because Paul was sick. Maybe Paul was sickly in prison. It stands to reason he would be. Anyway, Luke was there, and Luke was the physician. And he said, Luke is the only one. And he says, take Mark, pick him up, and bring him with you. I want to see Mark. And Titus have I sent to Ephesus. Then verse 13, Paul could have said with John and Peter, Peter, silver and gold have I none. Paul could have said in prison, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. That's just present-day prosperity theology you hear a lot of. God wants to make you rich. Paul said, I don't have any money. I'm broke, flat as a pancake. I'm broke. Not only that, he said, but my cloak or my coat, it's a Troas. And I believe he meant this winter was coming on. And he said, I'm going to be cold if I don't get that coat. So when you come, would you bring me the coat? He didn't have two coats. Didn't have a wardrobe there in that prison cell. He was going to be cold. Then he says, bring me some books, bring me something to do, and then especially the parchments. I'm not sure what the books are, probably Old Testament scriptures. The parchments, maybe they were some of his letters. I don't know exactly what is involved here in these writings. But the point is that Paul was a man who could say, I don't know a lot of things, but there are some things I do know. I want to list six things that I believe Paul could say, I know. You and I could testify these same six things. First of all, he would say, I am convinced that the Christ that I serve is the truth. That may not sound like a whole lot to you. I want to read you three great biblical truths. And I believe Paul said, I believe all three of them. All three of them. First of all, Acts 2:21. First great truth, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Second, John 3:36. He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. It's the only part I want to read. And then John 6:37. Him that cometh to me, the last part of the verse, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Put all these three together, and Paul would say, you know, I believe all those three verses tell the truth about Christ. He said, if I come to him, he'll receive me. He's the truth. He won't lie. And I did come to him. He said those that believe on him have eternal life. I do believe on him. Paul would say, I know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, but I know something more than that. He is my Savior. How you know that, Paul? Because I've done what he said. I've believed in him. I have come to him. Therefore, if he is the truth, I am his. I know Christ to be God the Son, he said, but I know him also to be my God. Paul speaks about in this verse, I know that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him. The word commitment means deposit. If you go down to the bank, you can make a commitment. That is, you can deposit your money in the bank. Now, Paul said, I deposited my life in the heavenly bank. And he stamped upon my deposit, M-I-N-E, mine. And Paul said, I have a stamp upon me. And that stamp is, God says I'm his. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. By the way, that stamp is the Holy Spirit, called the seal. Paul calls him the seal. We are sealed, stamped, God's property by the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that your body belongs to the Holy Spirit? It's his temple. He is in you. Then he goes on and says, and you are not your own. He owns you. So Paul says, I know in whom I have believed. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior because I have deposited my life into his hands. I have given myself to him, and my commitment was sincere, and his promise has to be true, for he is the truth. I am convinced that I am saved, even though I am in prison. I am still saved. No doubt about that. So our conditions don't in any way reveal the state of our salvation. Don't ever believe that. Second, he said, I am convinced that my soul still has eternal value. He said, I am convinced and persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Why do you want to keep something? Because it's of value. The things that are of no value, I put in the garbage can. But Paul said, he is going to keep this thing that I have committed to him. What is he going to keep? He's going to keep my life. He's going to keep my soul. I am of value to Christ. That's why he died for me. I am of value to Christ. That's why he saved me. I am in value to Christ. And that's the way it'll always be. My value does not go down, decrease, because of my outward circumstances. Even though I have no silver or gold, I am still of great value to him. And so it's important for us to realize that. He was a prisoner. Didn't even have a coat. He was a forgotten man. He was a dangerous man to be around because he was in a Roman prison. But Paul still said, I'm of value to him. My soul has not in any way decreased in its worth to the Savior. My worth will never diminish. And so he was convinced that he was still valuable to Christ, even though he was in prison. Thirdly, he said, I am convinced that there is a reward awaiting people like me. I believe that. I really do. Blessed are those that are persecuted for my name's sake. There's a special reward, Paul says, and I am convinced that I'd have never had it had I not been placed in this Roman prison. I believe there will be a great honor and a great reward. I don't know how it will be given for those like Paul who were truly, literally persecuted for their love for Christ. There is something special out yonder for them. And they alone will be the ones to have that honor bestowed upon them. So Paul was saying, I'm convinced that in that day, the record will be set straight. And though I don't look like much now, and though I am forgotten now, the day is coming when I will be recognized. My time here will receive its reward. Look at 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day. There's that same statement again. At that day, and not only to me, but also to them that love his appearing. So Paul was saying, I am convinced that though outwardly it doesn't look like God's doing much with me, that I'm not of much worth, but I tell you, the day's coming when the record will be set straight. And Jesus is going to be the final judge in this matter. And you'll see, I'm convinced, there will be a reward for me. Fourth, I am convinced that Christ is still at work in my life, perfecting me to his delight. I guess you might say prison was Paul's schoolroom. Paul believed that he was there by the permissive will of God. And while there, he would be given the chance to grow in grace, to grow more Christ-like, to be more of an obedient servant. Paul's great ambition was, whatever it took, that he might be more like the Master. And Paul just said, I believe that I'm here. And I'm still here because this is the best place I know to learn the lessons that I need to learn. We sing a song, children do, God's not finished with me yet. That's what Paul said in prison. He's not finished with me yet. And I'm just going through some trials and tribulations. And the Bible seems to say the best way God teaches us, the best way God perfects us, the fastest way God sanctifies us is to send trials and tribulations, the I don't knows of life our way. That's the best way God does. Bring about changes in our life, whatever that change might be, to transform us and to make us more pleasing and more like Him. Look at Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. Paul said, I am confident of this one thing I know, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What good work? The good work of transforming your life into the likeness of Christ, that work. And Paul says, every day the Lord is busy at that work, changing me, molding me, transforming me into the kind of child suitable for Him. Then fifthly, he said, I am convinced that Christ has knowledge of my satisfaction with Him. I believe Paul longed for a full salvation, a complete salvation. He had received the first fruits of salvation, which was the new birth, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Paul said, I'm satisfied so far with what I have received, but I have a longing for even yet greater things than this. I know that there's something better for me than what I now know in this prison. And Paul said, being here, I begin to really have a hunger for the other side of salvation, the free from the presence of sin, free from the evil around me, the resurrection of the old physical body. Jesus knows that I'm already a satisfied customer, but He also knows I want more and more and more of what salvation has to offer. I'm convinced that He knows that I like what He's already done for me, and I'd like to have more. He knows I'm a satisfied customer. And then lastly, I think Paul said, I'm convinced that the power of His blood is available still to cleanse me of those sins that I still commit. It'll still keep my record clean, and I'll still be declared innocent on Judgment Day of sin, because I know that He still gives me forgiving grace. He still keeps me cleansed and free from pollution of sin. By that, in closing, I want to say this. Paul said, I am convinced that my commitment is kept fresh daily. My devotion to Him is kept fresh daily. My walk with Him is renewed daily. I'm convinced that I have a new testimony daily. I keep my salvation experience up to date. There's some things I don't know, but about my salvation, I do know. Father, we're thankful tonight that we can, with Paul, have these same convincing convictions in our own life. They can be our same testimony. These same things we can say, we know to be true. though there are a lot of things with Paul we must have to say we don't know. May we begin to major on the things we do know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.